This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It is hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and we are live in Louisville at Chill. And come on by, we have another hour to go with Tolo Back Window Decals and all the great eats and drinks. And apparently a lot of dancing happens here later. You can clearly see this would make a mighty fine dance floor. They got a great spacious bar over there. This is the place to be.
Yeah, we're up on the stage, so you could see how I could be here with an acoustic guitar and kind of jamming. You would play the drums. We'd move these tables out of the way, and we got plenty of room.
Yeah, they got live music here at Chill on the weekends and DJs and all that. So familiarize yourself. It's just off of 35 at Sam Rayburn. What is on 1053thefan.com? I see you put up another video, Jeff. Is that right?
Yeah, we did most of it, though. It was a lot of kind of the tape study and just talking about Michael Bennett and Sean Lee and what's the other big topic we missed there? Connor Williams and some of my takeaways from the game to kind of get ready for the show. So it's more of a show preview.
Nice.
To get people a jump start on the G-Bag Nation.
That's what I do with my daily debriefing every day from Studio G. Jeff's got Studio Day Heffrey, and you can get wired in if you go to 105throughthefan.com or if you subscribe to our YouTube pages there. We'd appreciate that as well. But elsewhere on 105throughthefan.com, our pre- and post-game show host, Ari Temkin, he wrote a story about the Cowboys playing off the cat story. And the headline is, "The Black Cats of the NFL." And he's making a parallel here.
Okay.
Between black cats and their place in American pop culture lore and the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah, Ari writing here, "The black cat is sleek and regal, and its mere presence will make anyone stop dead in their tracks."
Will it?
The black cat and yeah, I think it will. You see a black cat, you're like, whoa now. Don't let this thing cross your path.
I guess I would keep my eye on it in case of an attack.
Yes.
I would continue on my way, but I would keep an eye on it.
The black cat in modern American culture is a symbol of bad luck, though. And that's not why the black cat is the perfect metaphor for the 2019 Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are the black cats of the NFL, though. Every year they are relegated to the periphery, classified as a has-been franchise with an expired tag as America's team. Every loss is an indictment of their franchise and illustrated through memes, yet simultaneously, they're the richest, most profitable franchise in all of sports. They sell out everywhere they play and are ratings gold for every network. If they're not America's team, then there's no such thing, writes Ari.
Ari's going to have to call in and explain where the parallel is. I saw what he said about the cat and I heard what he said about the Cowboys. Where's the connection?
Well, you know, it's
black cat is regal and bad luck.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys sell out stadiums and get dismissed.
Well, they are regal. They are football royalty.
Okay.
But
bad luck
or something weird keeps stopping them. You know, maybe it's a little bit of a jinx situation.
Okay.
I don't know. He says it's not just from the outside looking in either. Most Cowboys fans still believe they won't accomplish much in the way of championships until Jerry's gone. And yet Jerry is gone for all intents and purposes. He signs off on big deals, but is almost completely hands off in the personnel department when it comes to negotiating as well. There's a certain poetry to being able to hide in plain sight. They remain severely underrated in the national consciousness and yet play perpetually with a target on their backs. The Cowboys. Pardon me.
Well,
that's a belch and a swear word in back-to-back hours.
Cowboy.
Professional broadcasting has gone out the window here on KRLD-FM.
It is the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Things get wild.
Just letting our hair down.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are as misunderstood as the black cat who ambled into the light from the darkness in the middle of the field at MetLife Stadium on Monday Night Football. After all, a cat by any other color is just a cat.
Okay.
I think it's pretty entertaining right there. Good stuff.
Like
some unique content there from Ari Temkin
well
on America's
done,
team.
Ari. Well, comparing. The reason that they're overlooked in right now is because they lost to the Jets and had a terrible start against the Packers. You wouldn't be overlooked if you'd played up to your potential all year, Cowboys.
Uh-huh. And where did that Jets loss happen? In the presence of the cat.
That's true. Pat Doney did say that he saw the cat there.
Yeah.
That week.
That's interesting that the cat became good luck for the Cowboys after being horrifying luck. It must have, you know, been present during a Cowboys drive or something.
There's a cat in the house. Cat in the house. I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house.
Do we believe in Pat Doney's ability to identify that black cat as the same one, though? Because I saw him tweet out that this cat has been here for weeks. I saw it last time.
Yeah, and I do believe that cat's been living there for a while. I think that's something we learned from the security guards yesterday who said there's a whole group of them, and they hang out by the dumpsters, and people feed them and everything. So they're getting scraps. They're getting rats. And so I would say that cat looked so unique with his extra muscular stature and his sort of stocky build.
Well, surviving in the Northeast is tough, you know?
Yeah.
I bet that cat lifts weights when everybody goes home.
Oh, yeah. You see those guys in New York, they work out on the side of the on the sidewalks with like the crossing signals.
They'll climb
up there on those poles and do their pull-ups. And okay, Cowboys defensive lineman Daniel Ross arrested on gun and marijuana charges is another one of the top stories right now at 105throughthefan.com. I don't think that's going to have any impact on the football field, right? Because he's been on the IR, and while he's maybe a promising player for the future that they can continue to develop, he's probably just a bottom of the roster type of defensive tackle. And on this team, that's pretty pathetic for the most part.
The only question is, if you are Daniel Ross, does that arrest get you removed from the team, or are they just like, oh, okay? Because, like, to me, it's not a big deal, right? If you're in your own vehicle and you have a firearm, tons of people do. But I guess magically, if you also happen to have some marijuana with you, now it's a problem.
Yes, now you are a massive threat to society, because if you smoke that dope, you're probably just going to, you know, maybe.
I think if you smoked pot, you would be infinitely less likely to use your firearm.
I agree. Yeah.
You'd be like somebody could run into you and you'd be like, man, that wasn't cool.
But, you know, it's kind of the messed up way things work. You could be totally hammered and be like, yeah, I'm coming home from the bar. That's a DUI. That's a pistol in your glove box, but a concealed permit for that. I'm just in violation of the driving under the influence.
Okay,
laws.
So that is safe.
Yeah.
Like the alcohol and the firearm combo in a car.
Yeah, as long
not
as you're
not as bad as the weed and firearm.
I think as long as you don't leave your car with your firearm toted while hammered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
sweet.
I mean, the law's getting in a certain way, and hey, you know, I get it. They got a lot of jobs to do there. Okay, how about get you a little bit more of the numbers of the Cowboys going into this Vikings game? Dak needs 6 completions to pass Don Meredith for 5th. On the Cowboys' all-time list. It doesn't take too long to start ticking off those Cowboys quarterbacks as you're climbing the mountain, because there's, you know, only been, what, 5 up until this point? The Cowboys have been around for 60 years, and there's pretty much just been 5 quarterbacks.
Yeah, the ones between there were quite short-lived and aren't going to have a ton of completions.
Prescott ranks 3rd in the league in deep passing completions after 8 games, completing 21 of 40 attempts. Or 20 or more yards downfield. That's just incredible and unbelievable for the guy who really struggled at it so much. And, you know, at times last year, I would think, why even throw deep? You're just not connecting enough at all.
It's a lot of fun. Now that they have the if you Google, like, the next-gen stats, you can pull up a chart for any quarterback in the league. And you can see where they throw the ball, where they complete the ball. And if you look at early career Dak, the chart is like a U shape. It's like, I'm not messing with that deep middle. I'm not going down the seam. I'm not doing any of that. I'll occasionally throw one down the sideline, but that's kind of the shape. And then this year you look at it and it's like, oh, the dots are everywhere.
It's the most important part of the field to attack.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
And they do it now.
But it bears so much fruit if you can get it going there in that seam. Prescott is completing 69.6% of his passes, 106 of those 190 completions going for first downs. That makes his first round rate 38.8%. That is 3rd in the NFL. Almost 40% of all of his throws are going for first downs. And, you know, for me, I look at that and part of me wants to say, well, throw more on first down. Maybe you can just get first downs all the way down the field. But the way they've run the ball over the last 2 weeks really forces us to take pause. Because for most NFL situations, I think if you have a passing game as good as the Cowboys have, you better keep your foot down on the accelerator with that. But
if you're going to get 6 yards a carry,
yeah,
go ahead and run it a little bit.
Let's go ahead and keep doing that.
Go ahead and do some of that. That'll be fine. But back to like the first downs and how often he's thrown down the field now.
Uh-huh.
This year, I think for a lot of Cowboy fans, when you're getting in your fights with your friends, which is basically what sports radio is, and people are talking about Dak, the idea that he's a check down guy, it's dead.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody tells you that, you just gently correct them, because there's no need for violence. Dak throws deep as much as pretty much anyone in the league now.
Yeah.
He throws deep at almost the same rate as Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
And he completes those passes at a higher rate than anybody except Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, he has this year become one of the better push-the-ball-down-the-field quarterbacks in the league.
It's remarkable how difficult it is, I think, for some people to admit they're wrong even when they know it. And then it's incredible how people can be in denial about being wrong about that because they got so dug in. And they just don't want to imagine that they could be wrong and have to admit it to their friends. Hey, look, I was wrong. So
yeah, just do like I do and say, no, I was right then, but I'm also right now. Okay. He got better.
That's the key.
Yeah.
How about some Zeke numbers? Elliott has 5 100-yard rushing efforts in 2019, 500-yard games already. He's tied with Dalvin Cook and McCaffrey for the lead. With 100 rush yards, Elliott ties his career-long streak with 4 straight games of 100 yards or more. That offensive line, it really struggled against the Saints, didn't it? I mean, that
yes.
was pathetic in week 4.
Yes.
They were getting bullied, and it was incredible how they'd be trying to get to the second level, and then somebody like karate chop him, and Travis Frederick would fall down. I was like,
yeah.
what the heck is happening with some of these plays? It looked like they had lost their balance, or they were trying to play in like the season before they retired. Because that's how bad it looked at times. But no doubt they decided they took pride in their work and they doubled down or whatever they had to do, and they've remedied it so far.
I'm a little surprised. I was looking up the Vikings team stats to see how they do against the run, and this is okay. They let up 4.3 a carry. That's okay. It's not good. It's not bad. I bet that's near the league average. With the names on the roster, I would have thought they'd been better. Because when you said that, I was like, I doubt Zeke's going to go for 100 this week. And then I look at those numbers, it's like, well, if teams average 4.3, the Cowboys could average 5, and I could see Zeke having a 100-yard day against them.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. You know, when your offensive line is blocking as good as it is now, you think back of what happened in 2016, they were able to have success running against heavy boxes.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think you can hold this quality of offensive line play for long. I don't think it carries over year to year, but when you get in a zone like this, I think they have the potential to just road grade for the second half of the season. And as you start to look forward to December and January football, it could become huge. Okay, Amari Cooper. Since Dallas acquired Amari, 7 of his 12 touchdowns have come from 20-plus yards out, which is tied for the most in the league since Week 9 of 2018 with Tyreek Hill. A big problem was, you know, scoring in the red zone. It was scoring touchdowns just in general. And Amari Cooper fixes that in a big way by being able to make so many house calls.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's even close, he gets a slant or he gets the sluggo. If guys are trying to close on him and come over, he either has the ability to run away from him or beat him with power if they are close enough. It's incredible how great of a finisher he is. I didn't know he was that good.
Yeah, just off the top of my head, I can think of a variety of different ways that he scored those. Like just last week, it was the in route and then outrunning people to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
There's stop routes where he just makes a guy miss and goes to the house. There's a breaking tackles. He's pretty good, Kevin.
Yeah, he's special. And listening to the sounds from the sideline, it's funny because, you know, he had that humble brag moment. There's other moments throughout the year where it's like Amari Cooper has this reputation of being the quiet guy that plays chess, but he's really, really good, and he freaking knows it.
Uh-huh.
He just doesn't show that side of the media very often.
And people change when they step into really competitive environments.
Yeah.
Like, you could be legitimately kind of that person and the person that you hear when he's mic'd up, where it's like, yes, now I'm in my competitive environment.
Yeah.
This is not my, hey, how are you situation.
Man, there's not a better feeling in life, is there, than being in that competitive situation, having success and celebrating with your friends and talking about it. It's just
intoxicating.
And telling
people that you're beating, how much you're beating them and how easy it is.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Cooper ranks 8th in the NFL with 515 receiving yards and is tied for 2nd with 6 touchdown catches. He has 500-yard games with the Cowboys, tied for the 4th most in the NFL since they got him, behind Julio, DeAndre, Mike Evans, and Michael Thomas there. You're caught up on Cowboys by the numbers. And
he did all that with missing a game. For all, like, it won't say that he missed a game because he played 3 snaps, but the Jets game, I think he had a catch in his 3 snaps for like 3 yards, but essentially he missed a game, and he's still at the top of the league and all that.
Okay, Mike will be disappointed he missed this segment, but Mike's off to New Orleans. He left the show about 40 minutes ago. He's going on vacation with his wife. They're going on a little getaway there to the Big Easy.
I could see Mike getting out of hand.
Oh, yeah.
You can't send a lightweight to New Orleans.
No.
Half a hand grenade.
Yeah, that's all it's going to take. I was going to go with the half a hurricane joke, but hand grenade works too. Okay, we are live at Chill in Louisville atop of 35, and they have great deals here every Wednesday. It's $2 off every burger and $3.25 domestic pints and bottles. It's the place to party right here in Louisville. And, you know, for that matter, like the North Dallas area, it's not too far north. You might be thinking, Louisville, man, that's a haul. But
not
we got here
all.
Real quick. Oh,
pretty much 35 and 121 almost.
Okay, so here's the topic that Mike's going to be mad he missed out on. We might have to bring this back next week. Is that guy already the best player in DFW sports? It's next, live from Chill in Louisville on the Fan. There's a quote from Zeke that just happened out there at the Ford Center at the Star. We'll talk about that. Maybe Zeke is the guy that's already the best sports player in Dallas-Fort Worth. Who is it right now? Segment is brought to you by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, the official lawyers of the Tolo. Principal office, Dallas, Texas, there for Rubin and Associates. It's brought to you by Dripping Springs Distilling, DFW Airport Parking, and the Texans Can Academies as well. And before we get to a conversation about who's the best at sport, Jeff has a Zeke quote.
So Zeke was on the Cowboy Hour a couple or a few weeks ago, and I remember they were asking him about how he feels, like, because he's limping around, and, you know, it's the day after a game, and he's like, yeah, it hurts really bad, and it'll feel better in a few days. So I guess somebody at the Star today asked him, how are you feeling? And he said he was feeling really good. He said, quote, when the line's going out there just physically imposing their will on a team, you can hear the other team getting disappointed in themselves because literally they can't do anything to stop you. That takes a toll on them physically and mentally. When they're going out there and beating people up like that, it's tough for a defense to play four quarters. And he mentioned how he feels really fresh. He's like, I didn't really take any hits. Ooh. Like, you look at the box score, and it looks like we were really grinding it out. He's like, I didn't really get hit.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good. That's how good the line was.
Well, that's outstanding. You know, and if you look forward now, the next opponent, the Minnesota Vikings, that's going to be a massive test, isn't it, for that offensive line? It's one thing to do it against the Giants, who in their front seven might have, like, two pretty good NFL players. What are you going to do against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday afternoon?
And their pretty good ones are really just fat guys. They're just good at being fat.
Okay.
Now the Vikings have actual good players, so it may be a little different.
Okay.
And the answer is Luka, Gavin.
Oh, okay, right. There's the conversation point as we're live at Chill in Louisville. I saw a poll that a Twitter guy put up earlier, and I was like, man, that's an interesting conversation. So he's just 20 years old. The original candidates, Zeke, Luka, Sagan, Andrus, and I think out of those four, it's obviously Luka, and it might be obvious no matter who you put in there. I had to go to a non-team sport, then I could play Errol Spence Jr. at you back
okay.
to be like, okay, maybe pound for pound, the absolute best boxer in the world is better at sports than Luka. I can't play Jordan Spieth at you because he hasn't won since 2017 now.
Right.
But back in 16 and 17, it would have been a very interesting discussion and probably would have ended up with Spieth winning it after taking three majors in 2 years. But now I think it probably comes down to Luka or Errol Spence, doesn't it? And we'll invite you to join the conversation. If you have somebody better, you can text into the show at 877-881-1053, or you can tweet us at GBag Nation. Who is the best person in DFW sports right now? Is it Luka, Errol Spence, or other?
Yeah, so I tried to come up with a reasonable competition, and I went at the Stars, and it's, I would say, Sagan and Bishop, and you're like, okay, they're really good, but no. Cowboys, I'm running out five different possibilities. Dak, he plays quarterback. That's really hard, and he does it really, really, really well. Amari, he's a really good receiver. Zach Martin, maybe the best guard in the business. And then Zeke or Tank, but no, I don't think I would say any of them is better at their sport than – Luka is, as he's 20 years old and averaging, what, like 26, 10.5, and 9.5?
Yeah.
That's not human.
No, it's ridiculous. Now, it is a different era. The triple-double era is upon us. The high usage rate of your star player is on us. And, you know, because of that, they're accomplishing things that in the past were, like, really, really special and sacred kind of numbers, and they seem to happen, like, five times a week in the NBA these days. So
yeah, because, like, Russell Westbrook, when he was going to average a triple-double, was like, this is ungodly, and I think he did it again the next year. And it's like, it just means he has the ball all the time.
Yeah.
And he can rebound.
And he's athletic, you know, and is willing to share the basketball. So, and, you know, I do think Luka plays much more of the team game. But I think it's just a commentary on the impact that he has made as a winner and as a guy that can control the action. And to me, the trajectory that he's on at 20 years old, I think he is going to be a Magic Johnson, Larry Bird type of figure in this game, where it's like, wow, that guy wasn't the most athletic, but his skills, his ability to keep the defense off balance put him as a Hall of Famer and in the conversation for winning MVPs. I think he's going to be better than Steve Nash ever was. You know, I'm already putting him into, hey, not only is Luka the best player in pro sports and DFW, he's going to be that guy for a decade. And when it's all said and done, he's going to be remembered as one of the greats.
Well, and if he turns into, like, Steve Nash, I don't remember if he started this way, but the middle and end, like, he was a sniper.
Yeah.
Well, he was hitting, what, like, mid-40s from three, low to mid-40s? If Luka turns into a dude that shoots over 40% from three, who's better? Like, well, who's going to be a better basketball player?
And maybe he'll get there, maybe he won't. The shooting is, you know, one of those things that typically gets better with time. But
let's look rookie to sophomore year so far. As a rookie, he averaged from the field 42.7. Right now he's at 46.4.
Nice.
So he's up 4%. And from three, he was 32.7. He's at 35.2.
Very respectable numbers.
He's up 3%. Like, do that again.
And when you get on a championship team where your role players are more of the quality of Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, and maybe your other superstar isn't just a vacuum and a finisher of the ball like Porzingis, can we get another player who's adept at creating attention and then finding? And then Luka maybe could shoot 40% from three if he gets more spot-up opportunities.
Did I detect negativity about Porzingis there?
I like Porzingis.
Disappointment?
I like Porzingis as a finisher. You know, and I think he's a scorer and a good rim protector. Holy cow. And he's been rebounding better. But, yeah, in transition, he is slow as molasses. Like, the other team will get the rebound and take off and be getting ready to make their finishing move, and Porzingis is literally still at the other three-point line, like, changing direction still.
Wow. I didn't realize that on the season, like, Porzingis is shooting 43% from the field.
Yeah.
So as good as impressed as we've been with the Mavericks, he can play better than that.
Yeah.
The Mavericks can score more efficiently than they have. But, well, you know what? That's been Porzingis' career.
At 43?
He's 44% from the field. I guess it gets a little wonky when it's a over 7-footer who plays outside a lot.
I could see that, you know, because of what it was with the Knicks, where he was much more of an isolation player and the focus of their offense, taking a lot of contested shots, creating, and it is going to take some time, but I would hope his field goal percentage will at least be over 45 and hopefully in the high 40s as him and Luka continue to figure things out amongst them. Okay, now as far as the conversation, who's the best in DFW sports, you mentioned the Cowboys. I think because of the degree of difficulty for quarterback, you know, you can get close to making a case for Dak if he continues with the efficiency numbers that he's put up so far this year.
If he's a legit MVP candidate at the end of the year, and to me, Dak is right now. If you made a list of five guys in the NFL, I think Dak is on that list. If that's true at the end of the year, it becomes a really good conversation. It's weird, though, because the other disadvantage is that, of course, in football, Dak doesn't also play linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, Luka, you're both sides of the floor. You're out there for most of the minutes of the game, whereas Dak's out there for half the minutes of the game. So you're always, when you're watching a basketball game, you're going to see more of Luka than you do of Dak watching a football game. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like we'll always give more credit to a basketball player because they have both jobs.
Yeah, yeah, and they influence everything.
Right.
You can totally take a team from being a non-playoff team to a real contender as just one guy in basketball. So as far as impact and then deciding how do I separate from the impact from how just skilled you are at your individual job, it's a bit of a difficult conversation to have.
The poll that you put up at G-Bag Nation is a blowout right now.
Luka?
71%.
Lower than I thought it was going to be.
Really? Yeah, you got Dak at 14, Spence at 11, and 3% for other.
Well, you know, I think if there were much more boxing fans, it would be close to 50-50 now that I think about it, actually.
I think
Errol
that's fair.
And Luka,
if
yeah.
you're, you know, if you are the best on the entire planet at your weight class, don't you have to win the debate?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Luka would, well, because, well, I guess it would be like separating basketball into positions.
Yeah.
You'd have to say Luka is the best and God, can you even do positions in basketball anymore?
Getting harder.
Luka's a point guard?
Getting harder.
He's the point guard?
Yeah. Yes, I do believe he is definitely a point guard, and whether they list him at that or small forward, I'm pretty sure Rick Carlisle established that in training camp that he is the point guard. But it's a different time because more and more small forwards and giant people. Back in the day, they'd just be like, oh, yeah, you know, our small forward passes really well. Now it's like, well, screw it, you know. Just
what if Tim Duncan
no hand checking?
Like, think of some of those guys historically that if they were just born 10 to, or 40 years later, like,
yeah.
what does the game look like for Wilt Chamberlain?
Well, hell, you know, just Kobe Bryant, you know, imagine him coming in, and I'm not a two-guard playing in the triangle. I now get the James Harden role of give me the ball, and I'm going to do everything. He would be scoring 40 and handing out 12 assists, and maybe he would have put himself, you know, above Michael Jordan in some people's minds.
That little run where it was like Kobe and McGrady and maybe Vince Carter, are they all averaging triple-doubles if they're all playing the point?
I think so. I think that's a good point. Okay, now I hate to ask this question, and maybe it's entirely inappropriate. Maybe it's entirely too soon. But if you had to start a team with one player, would you go with Luka Doncic? Or I'm going to give you a chance to go back and draft a 19-year-old out of Würzburg, Germany, named Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay, I refuse to answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I refuse to answer on the grounds that I think I'd pick Luka, but that feels sacrilegious, so I don't want to answer the question.
Well, okay. I'm going to say Dirk because it's hard to be very good for 12 to 15 years, and it's hard to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And we have the advantage of hindsight 2020.
That's coming.
Yes.
It almost makes me sad that we have Luka, because like you're gonna like, it didn't take long, right?
Yeah.
Dirk was this magical. He is. He's to me at least as a 35-year-old, he's the most important sports player in my DFW life. Dirk is.
Yeah.
That he was with the franchise the whole time. You went from a terrible place as an organization to being at the top for a long time, finally getting a championship. Like, the next best Maverick behind Dirk is 200% behind him somewhere. Like, there's no competition.
Yeah.
And then on his way out the door, I guess you should view it as, holy cow, you're so lucky that you immediately got the next guy. But it's like, man, this is going to diminish Dirk.
You know, and to that, I have felt like when we were talking about Luka at times and projecting how many wins they're going to have this year, I think Mike was low because he didn't want to put Luka ahead of Dirk on the learning curve, on the trajectory. He's like, oh, no, you know, second year, 20 years old, you know, it's got to be like in the mid-40s. There's no way.
But we should have already known that because his rookie year was better than Dirk's. Like, there was no doubt. Once you compared them as rookies, Luka showed up as a pro.
And bigs do develop slower, right? There's really tangible reasons through the history of basketball why a guy in the perimeter who's in control is – you know, very quick to ascend to near the top of the league. And those big guys, it's more around 24, 25, later.
I actually will go Dirk. In addition to what you're saying about knowing about his longevity, I think there's something to a lot of basketball games, for whatever reason, just end up close in the fourth quarter. A lot of them do. And when you had that guy who it's like, your ball, and it's like, cool, I got you. I'll get a two here, and then I'm going to hit a three, and then I'm going to post up and get another two.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to fake a fadeaway and lay it up. Like, if you need to close out this game, give me the rock. We'll close out this game. There's a ton of value. And Luke is averaging 26, 27 a game, but you don't view him that same way, where it's like, I need a bucket. It's you.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I think Dirk's a better rebounder. and probably a higher percent of free throw shooter. There's quite a few other reasons to go with Dirk, if that's the way you would like. How about a little Cowboys Twitter as we get ready to wrap this Wednesday show up? We are going to hand it off to Zach and Eric, and they'll be on from 8 to midnight after the Cowboys happy hour, which is coming up at 7 o'clock. Is Mike Fisher in with them again? That was a hell of a roundtable last week. I don't know if Fish is in or somebody else is in, but it'll be a great entertainment coming up from the Star here from 7 to 8. Blogging the Boys tweeting your NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Congratulations at It's Hollywoods with underscore in there. Congrats to Xavier Woods. Just a great job, and he got recognized. A Cowboy safety wins that award for the first time in 1996.
Attaboy Xavier. He's carrying on the legacy of the X with the Cowboys.
Sweet. Salute to Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. They won the Offensive Player of the Week awards. How about this? Bobby Belt. According to Next Gen Stats, the Cowboys leader in average separation is Jason Witten at 3.3 yards. How is this happening,
Jeff?
Okay,
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory, and my theory is based on a vivid remembrance of two plays this week against the Giants. I think the reason that number is so high is the random bootlegs where there's no one within 10 yards of him.
Oh,
because a lot of his completions, when he runs those curls, there is not separation. Like on some drags, sometimes he has a little separation. But I think that number is very much buoyed by there were two plays against the Giants where when he caught the ball, he had at least 8 to 10 yards of separation because they faked a run to the right, and Dak and Witten were coming left, and there was no one around. I'm not going to take that number and be like, oh, yeah, he's better getting separation than Amari
Cooper.
Breaking
ankles out there.
No, he's not. No, he's not. It's tricky bootlegs.
Right, because, I mean, the way I've been watching it, it's been a lot of close catches.
Yes.
And he is a genius. Is it footwork or is it backwork? Whatever you got to do to get in front of your player and make it impossible for him to reach around you.
It's footwork. It's body positioning. It's being 6'5 and being willing to reach all the way back towards the quarterback to grab the ball. I was actually surprised. I would consider a drop against the Giants when he had a play like that where he had a guy kind of boxed out, and I think it was a linebacker, and his hand was like right towards the back of Witten's hand, and it's contested, and it's a hard catch to make, but Witten makes it. You know, those are the kind of catches that he makes. There's always someone near him. That number is tricking people.
Okay, how about we go to a number from Pro Football Focus, their Cowboys account here. Linebacker Sean Lee, 89.9, was the highest graded player on Monday Night Football. He was targeted 6 times in coverage, but only surrendered 4 receiving yards.
Oh, and I didn't even mention this when we were talking about Sean Lee a little bit earlier. Another thing that I noticed watching the tape of that game, they were leaving Sean Lee in coverage one-on-one with Saquon Barkley, and the Giants weren't going to it. And I think that's complimentary to Sean Lee, but any other Cowboy linebacker singled up with Barkley, and I think I'd have been like, uh-oh. Like, Leighton would have a chance, but I think Sean Lee, I mean, if they lined him up out there, then I would say Sean Lee can't cover him. Like, you just can't run with him. But playing him out of the backfield, like, he's so smart. You're not going to catch him coming downhill when a guy's turning up field. Like, he's going to do his job.
Yeah, as long as the player who he has to track has to get around the wash and around the line of scrimmage, then Sean Lee's got the advantage.
I can track you. I can figure this out. I'm not going to put myself in a bad spot.
Okay, John Machota of The Athletic tweeting a story. We're starting to get rolling. 5 biggest takeaways from Cowboys' 6th consecutive win over the Giants. 3 straight sweeps. Amari Cooper brings incredible value when he's not 100%. This team typically goes as it starts, and that's not necessarily a good thing. If they struggle in their first couple of drives, they struggle for the first half is what Machota's talking about there.
Oh, okay, okay.
A good defensive line showed it can be much better with the addition of Michael Bennett. Do you agree with that?
I do.
It's a significant upgrade overall. And it appears the Cowboys have officially found their run game. And that's a huge thing to celebrate. And then number 5, turnovers are happening. 7 takeaways in the last 2 games. They had just 2 in the previous 3.
But isn't the thing about the NFL that with the exception of 1 team per year, usually the Patriots, like it's also week to week.
Yeah.
So like you have all these things where like they found the run game and then it's like, yeah, ask me Monday.
But, you know, you struggle early in a season. You say we can't let that happen again. We got to double down on our preparation. You get Robert Quinn back, and you add Michael Bennett, and then you put Jordan Lewis on the field. I do think they have raised their probabilities of having success in those departments.
I do too. I just
three
think,
turnovers a game, but
right. I do too. I just think that none of that means that Kirk Cousins is going to throw a pick and fumble twice. And none of that means you're running for 140 this week.
You're right. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation live at Chill in Louisville off of 35. Come on by, say hi. It's a great place for entertainment on the weekends. They have live music, DJs 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Friday and Saturday night here at Chill in Louisville. We'll come back and mix with Zach and Eric, find out what they have planned for their broadcast, and then we'll hand it off to the Cowboys happy hour here on The Fan.
That's right, baby. Southwest Kia is home of 250 vehicles at 250 down and 250 a month. Visit southwestkia.com for that deal, yo.
Thank you very much, Lucius, and thanks to this fine establishment here in Louisville that has allowed us to broadcast and fellowship with Tolos all afternoon. The location, Chill in Louisville, it's off 35, and if you're anywhere close, you should come check this out. As a very talented wait staff, I'd like to add. They're courteous. And, you know, they're easy to talk to. Nice. Stuff like that.
I would agree. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the bar is good. The food's good. The entertainment. It's a date spot. It's a good food spot. Good Saturday night place with the DJs and the live music. And we're about now coming up on the Cowboys happy hour, which will take over at 7 o'clock. A really fine broadcast and a good Cowboys conversations coming up. And then after that, the two young broadcasters who are taking over the DFW sports media scene. Really a very quick ascent to fame. It's Zach Wolchuk and Eric Chiafalo coming up from 8 to midnight. Gentlemen, a good evening to you. How you doing?
Doing fantastic as always. General, how are you doing? It sounds like you guys are quite the spot there at the Chill Bar.
Yeah, it's good, and it's an honor to be broadcasting with you, Rising Stars. What do you have planned here coming up from 8 to midnight?
Oh, we got a great show for you, General. We got Walchuk's top 10 list at 10 in honor of Waterboy, and today being the, what is it, the 20th anniversary of it?
I think it's 21. I think it came out in 98.
All right, so what Waterboy is legal. We're going to give you the best 10 sports movies of all time at 10 o'clock. But right off the top here at 8, I'm going to give you some reasons why I think the Cowboys and Vikings are that Spider-Man meme. They are the exact same football team.
Did the... Did semi-pro make the top 10 list? I believe it's criminally underrated.
Yeah, well, semi-pro would be on the list, but as Eric kind of flubbed that, it's specific to football movies, just football movies.
My apologies.
Has there been 10 football movies?
Oh, there it definitely has been 10, my friend. In fact,
okay,
I had to leave a couple off.
Is Necessary Roughness on there where Kathy Ireland's the kicker, or are you guys too young for that?
I have seen Necessary Roughness. It is an honorable mention.
Okay. All right.
How about Brian's Song?
Brian's Song is in the top 10.
See, no.
Very nice.
That's a tearjerker. It's a tearjerker. Come on.
We got Wildcats.
Wildcats is in there.
Sinbad was in that movie. Come on, y'all.
Wildcats is criminally underrated.
Mm-mm. Have both of you seen Brian's Song?
Never heard of it until right now, Joe.
I have seen it, yes.
Oh.
It's a great show. I figured Wolchuk would know it.
Air Bud.
He's cultured. Air Bud was basketball, wasn't it?
Well, I'm sure he played football
the
in
sequel.
One of them.
Yeah, the sequel. Red he was Iron a wide Bud. Receiver.
Yeah, of course he
and
was.
Then
very versatile.
Little Giants, though, has always been a favorite for me.
Was that with Estevez?
Yes.
No. Yeah, okay. I just remember the linebacker.
Oh, no, not Estevez. Not Estevez. Yeah, the Icebox. Yeah.
Icebox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a beast.
Well, gentlemen, we look forward to what's coming up on, you know, Zach and Eric here from 8 to midnight. What do you think about, you know, the Daniel Wise story here earlier? He's been arrested for the Cowboys.
No, Daniel Ross. Don't put that on Daniel Wise. Daniel Wise is on the practice squad, and he's a sweet man.
That's right. I mean, that was one of the bigger Cowboys stories of the day. I guess Xavier Woods winning NFC Defensive Player of the Week. That's a much more positive one to talk about. Do you think this is the beginning of a breakout party for Xavier Woods? Is he going to become a star-level player for the Cowboys defense?
I hope so. Interception in back-to-back games. I think he's the first Cowboys safety to win that award since 1996, so he's making history here. I think him and Malik Collins, two guys that have underperformed the first seven games or so this year, we had high expectations for. I think they're both coming off really good games, and I expect this entire defense with those two now emerging to start taking that next step and hopefully becoming that elite unit we thought they'd be before the season started.
Where are you at with that, Eric?
Yeah, Xavier Woods is a stud. I mean, Kavanaugh will co-sign that. He's been a big fan of his since day one. And, yeah, this is exactly what the doctor ordered for this defense. Somebody in the back end that can get their hands on some footballs and be that ball hawk back there. The Cowboys haven't had one in a long time. It feels like Xavier Woods is starting to come into his own a little bit. We saw the flashes in the preseason in the training camp, and now it's starting to all come to fruition for him. It's beautiful.
Xavier and Jordan Lewis, maybe they're going to have a couple of ball hawks back there. By the way, what do you think of the nickname that Malik Collins had for Jordan Lewis at the end of that game? I don't know if you heard the sounds of the sideline segment, but he was dropping ball god on him, and I thought that had a nice ring to it.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal nickname. I'm a huge fan of that right there. I'm sure Jordan Lewis is not upset about that one, and I would co-sign that as well. I think that's fantastic. I think he had 9 starts in his career, and he's got 6 turnovers. And when you compare that to the rest of the defense, Cheeto, Byron Jones, and all those guys, they have like twice or 3 times the starts, and they have less than half of the forced turnovers there. So, yeah, Jordan Lewis, I'm in on that, Walchuk. And Walchuk's the balls god, so I think Walchuk signs off on that one.
Yeah, no, Jordan Lewis is my guy. I've been trying to get him on the field much more every single show that we do. I'm saying, hey, why in the world is Jordan Lewis not starting? I think he's earned a spot. And how did you see him cover 20 yards? He's 20 yards away when that fumble happens at the end of the game. Next thing you know, this dude literally travels 20 yards in the blink of an eye, picks that ball up, returns it for a touchdown. I'm a big Jordan Lewis fan. We got to get him on the field more.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think we need to get him on the show, too, one of these shows. He's a very entertaining gentleman.
I want to give you guys the Gavin Dawson question of about 30 or 40 minutes ago. Who is the best DFW athlete at sport?
Ooh, currently, right now, today.
Right this second, any team or individual. Errol Spence, we had to strongly consider. But who is the best at sport?
Well, in my opinion, Luka Doncic is a top 10 player in the NBA. I don't know if you can necessarily say that about any Cowboys player right now. And, you know, the Stars have some guys for sure. You could mention a guy like Gallo, but you know, for the Rangers. But to me, it's Luka Doncic. There's no question about it. I'm a huge believer in what he is. And when you look across the league and where he ranks right now, there's no way he's anything less than top 20. And I don't know if the Cowboys have... He's top 10 in my opinion, for sure. But the fan text.
That's not opinion. That's not opinion. No, that's top 10.
That's just facts now. Okay. All right. There it is. Luka Doncic is a top 10 player in the league. I don't know if we have a top 10 player in any of the other leagues here in our DFW Sports Metroplex. So I'm going Luka all the way. I think it's kind of a no-brainer.
What about Zach Martin? Can we consider Zach Martin?
He may be the best guard in football, which is interesting. But is he a top 10? I like the way Eric did that. Is he a top 10 player in football?
No.
Probably not.
No, the closest thing you would get, I think, would be Dak because of the level of difficulty.
Right.
And I like to look at it like, okay, if you were starting a team and you could only, you know, consider it for 1 year, where would Dak be amongst the players drafted in the NFL? Luka, I think, if you had to win as many games as you could for just this year, it'd be a top 10 pick.
Yes.
Teams would be like, we need Luka to be our point guard.
Dak would be picked around there, I bet.
I think so, too.
10 to 15.
Yeah. I don't think you'd take anything other than quarterbacks for the first 15 players, and Dak would be in that list. So we have Mavs basketball coming up here at 7:30. Mavs and Magic, so I'm sure you guys will be talking about that, and we look forward to you guys coming up here from 8 to midnight on your home of the Cowboys. Have a great hour listening to this Cowboys Hour, and then kill them tonight, guys. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
You got it, General. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll be pulling for you.
Yeah.
It's not the coach.
Well, that's my saying,
They're
though.
Just going to
Hey,
be
we need
radio.
All the good vibes
that's
we can get.
Hey, shut up. We were done with you.
Got it. There
just
they
kidding.
Go. Zach and Eric coming up. Thanks to Chill here in Louisville. This place is great, and we'll be back here next week. Thanks to our Tolos over here in the corners.
Sean.
Yeah, Sean. Till tomorrow, you're going home with a G-Bag Nation salute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.